Thank you, unless I just extend it to him personally, which I already have. Tim is a friend of mine who preached last Sunday, and then I want to thank you all, because his children said, let's make this our forever church home. Oh yeah, good job, church. But they live in Westerville, so that's a little tricky, but I told them they could move here. Hey, I grew up in the Methodist Church. We were at Appleton United Methodist Church. Anybody familiar with the Croton area of Ohio? Yeah, so Appleton, anybody? It's crossroads of Appleton Road and Van Fossen. There's like two churches there and 16 houses. That's about it. And the church I grew up in is actually a Buddhist temple now. So go figure. But they had, when I was a kid, they had this special service on Sunday nights, and I don't know if it was every Sunday night, but it sure seemed like it, because as a kid, you're like, we're going back to church again? Okay. But they had this special service where the lights would go down low, and they would bring guitars out. You know, it was like, cool. All right, they have guitars. And the overhead projector thing with the transparencies. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm dating myself, all right? If you know what I'm talking about, it's time to get your prostate checked. I'm just saying. Guys. Keenan, coming. Then they have to flip it around and turn it all around because they get it wrong, you know, and everything like that. But what they would do was they would have this special time of prayer, and they would lay hands on people. And sometimes people would fall to the ground because of the touch of the Holy Spirit upon their life. Sometimes they would say things in words that I did not understand. I didn't know what they were saying. I'm not sure they knew what they were saying either. I understand. All of this was in the United Methodist Church, okay? Most of you, if you understood what that meant, you'd go, no way, the Holy Spirit made a mistake and turned wrong somewhere, because that doesn't happen in the United Methodist Church. Needless to say, the pastor of that church did not last long. He was moved on to other places. He went to plant a small church in Venata, just up the road on 13, where we caught up with them a few years later when I was in middle school. But there they were free to explore the whole gamut of Pentecostalism, is what it's called. If you've heard of the Pentecostal church, where they're speaking in tongues and laying on hands and slain in the spirit and those kinds of things, they explored all of those things and allowed God to move in those kinds of ways in that space. The phrase they used was this: being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the term that's used for that sort of activity, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you've heard of these things, or maybe you've been part of that. You've seen it, you've experienced it as part of your church history and tradition. I encourage anybody to go find churches where that happens. Just go see what it's like. Go experience it. Allow yourself to be released to the movement of the Holy Spirit in those ways. I think most of it's genuine. I think some of it maybe not. But it is another way to express your faith. According to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus went out into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting and praying, and he is tempted. But what it said was he went out full of the Holy Spirit. It's the same term that is used today, and Pentecostals would use that term for those activities, being full of the Holy Spirit. But Luke never mentions Jesus speaking in tongues, never mentions Jesus being slain in the Spirit, never mentions like holy laughter or things like that. So my thought is that being filled with the Holy Spirit might look different for different folks. There's different ways to express the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today in our continued series on Fueled, claiming the power of God, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at Acts chapter 2, if you want to follow along, Acts 2, 1 through 15, where the Holy Spirit comes into the presence of the disciples. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, not only in their souls and their bodies, but in their physical space, the presence that they were in. All right, so I'm just going to read that whole passage. It's a little bit long, but bear with me. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were there all together in one place, they meaning the disciples. They're all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Now, it's quite possible that they were still in the upper room where they had been since the Last Supper when Jesus was crucified. Okay, they were probably still hanging out in that same space. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And just imagine like a little flame like above each one of their heads. That's the vision I get. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the phrase. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, they heard it too, the rushing wind and the noise of the people talking. At this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. All right, they were from all the nations under the heavens. They're coming together like, wait, they're speaking in what I can understand. They were amazed and they were astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Galileans were like people from Michigan. And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? They can't possibly know how to speak Ohioan. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. They heard them in their own language. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they're filled with new wine. They drunk. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 a.m. They're not drunk, not yet. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Pentecost was a Jewish holiday. It was a celebration that always took place 50 days after Passover. All right, Passover was around the same time that Jesus had been crucified and resurrected, right? They were in the upper room to celebrate Passover. The next day, Jesus was crucified. Now they're celebrating 50 days later, Pentecost is a celebration 50 days after Passover. All the Jews are around celebrating another Jewish holiday, right? All of our Christian holidays that surround around Jesus fall on those Jewish calendared holidays. So we're 50 days after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected, all right? The last time I spoke was 40 days when Jesus ascended to heaven, so this is 10 days after that. People from all over the world were present for the festival. And so when the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they were suddenly and miraculously empowered to speak in the same native tongue as the people who were present for the festival. Anybody who's taking a high school language course wishes that this could be the case for them. God, may I just receive Spanish 2 right now, and I could speak in the native tongues. So in fact, all of the people just assumed that they were drunk, right? It says it in there. They're filled with new wine. And it's funny that Peter explains that they're not drunk because it's only 9 a.m., not because we're good Christian folks. We wouldn't get drunk. He doesn't say that. He goes, no, it's just 9. It's just too early. Wait till later. We'll have that going on too. But this is a fantastic thing that happens in the room. They're all together. They're all of one mind. They're worshiping together. And then suddenly what looks like flames of fire were above everybody's head, and this whoosh of wind comes through in the room, and suddenly everyone's empowered to do things that they otherwise would not have been able to do. They would not have been able to speak in this foreign language in such a way that people would understand it. They were not able to do that until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But it was confused. People were confused about what they were doing. These people could not possibly be able to do this. There must be another explanation for this. They've gone crazy. They've drank too much, whatever it is. But I want to tell you that being filled with the Holy Spirit made them do things that they were normally not able to do. Now, I've been full of things before. Some of you chuckle because you understand. You've probably said, I'm full of things. Some of you, I'm sure you have. Charity's not here, otherwise she would be really laughing at that. None of you are paying attention well enough, I can tell you that. It's true, though. I've been full of things, even the thing you should be thinking of. I've been accused of that the most, but there was a time not too long ago that for me, every restaurant that I went to was not judged on its quality, but its quantity. How much food did they put on my plate? That's the mark of a good restaurant. If they come out with a platter like this and it's full, this is a good restaurant. This is one coming back to. This is good. Because quantity has a quality all of its own. You go to the buffet, you're going to get your money's worth, doggone it. You squeeze every penny out of that thing. Get your fill. I have some really disgusting gluttony stories from Ryan's and Golden Corral that you do not want to hear. We're good at being filled as a culture. We impatiently fill everything. We fill our schedules, right? There's always something to do. We're always running from this thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing. And while you're at this thing, you're thinking about the next one because I got to get to the next thing. In fact, this morning we were trying to sort out, let's see, right after church, Sarah needs to get to Olentangy Orange High School to do her regional orchestra thing. But she's going with a friend, so she's going to actually have to drive separately. Oh, wait, but if you drive separately, you got to take your stuff now for the thing you got to do at 2 p.m. Like, we're just, you know how it is. It's like a constant barrage of things filling our schedules. We fill our eyes, our ears, and our heads. We always have something on to entertain us or distract us. Primarily this little box that fits right in your palm of your hand, and you do this, and you scroll for hours and hours, hoping to get that next dopamine hit of the thing. Or you put the earbuds in just so you can zone out, and you don't have to focus on anything else. I call it escapism. Let me just escape whatever's going on now so I can just dial in here and not worry about anything. We fill our eyes, our ears, and our heads. We fill our bellies. We think about the best foods that we can eat. Oftentimes, like every morning or even the night before, I'm thinking, what can I make for dinner tomorrow that would be amazing and easy, but mostly amazing? I want it to taste really, really good. What can we do to fulfill that? Our next big holiday coming up would be Thanksgiving, right? That's traditionally when we fill our bellies full in the great Thanksgiving of God Almighty. No, we just watch football and gluttonize ourselves. That's what we do because we're good at filling our bellies. We fill our hearts. We want to be with the people that we long to be with, hoping that they will fill us up just because they're a human that we're connected to. We don't want them to take away from us. We want to be filled that way. And we do it impatiently because we want it immediately. We want it now. And if it doesn't, then we just move on to the next thing that will. What will fill me now? If this won't do, then I'll go back to this. If this won't do, then I'll go back to whatever the other thing is. Here's what I want to suggest is this. The thing that you are seeking to fill you is the thing that controls you. The thing that you're seeking to fill you is the thing that controls you. You'll stop at nothing to make sure that you get that thing. Last week, I was hungry for pizza, and Beth and I have been on this little like diet thing since January, and so we've been watching our food and how much food we eat and what we eat, and I got to be honest, I've been hungry for some really sloppy pizza, the kind of pizza that the cheese like slides off, you know, like it's that thick with cheese, and you, does anybody know, or like when you pull it up, it's like this string just like. Anybody know that cheese? Okay, I'm borderline lusting here. Really want to. Christie's Pizza puts on cheese like that thick. And I was like, let's get Christie's. I don't want you to think I'm bad-mouthing my wife. She's a lovely person, okay? She's working the children's ministry right now. She's a saint, okay? Also, she can hear me? Okay, good. Shut the door back there. Because I'm about to... So she's like, no, we don't need those kinds of calories. I'm like, but it just tastes so good. She's like, no, we don't need that. Aaron's checking. It's her birthday today, too, by the way. It's her birthday. And I'm totally ripping her up here. So she's like, we can get pizza. That's great. But let's go over to Crino's where we can kind of each get what we want. The quick fire one, you know, it's actually really good. It's good pizza. You can get what you want over there. I was like, okay, let's get two. That way we can share. We each get one that we like. Doggone, she doesn't order both of those cauliflower crust. That is not at all. I mean, we ate pizza that night. We ate pizza, but I still need this gloppy, cheesy goodness. I still need it. I have to have, because that didn't count. Cauliflower crust does not count. So now I have thought about Christie's pizza way too much over the last 10 days, just thinking about how will I get a hold of some Christie pizza. It is Pastor Appreciation Month, everybody. I'm just saying. And there's only 2 days left. It sounds harmless, right? Doesn't it? Like just cheesy pizza. It's truly harmless. But here's the thing. I'm looking for something to fill me and give me the cheesy jollies that I need, and nothing else will do. But think how that plays out. What if I was looking towards shopping as the thing that I'm trying to be filled with, and then I allow it to control me? So I spend all my time thinking about that thing I must purchase, and I research it online, and I go to the stores, and then I spend all my money that I have to get to purchase the items that I probably don't need. And then probably it's money that I don't have because it's going to go on the credit card debt, buying things that will only give me temporary satisfaction. So now all of my time, all of my money, and my future money is tied up into something that gives me just a temporary satisfaction. And now your family doesn't even know you because you're always spending time shopping for this thing. You're on your phone scrolling, or because you can't stop eating the cheesy goodness because now even the clothes you buy won't even fit because you kept eating the cheesy goodness. I think that story could be translated to a lot of different things. Gaming, cars, sports, working out, kids' activities, work, you name it, whatever it is for you, I promise you, it's not drugs and alcohol as the only thing that can control you. It's anything that you seek to fulfill you is the thing that controls you. I'll go one step further. The thing that controls you will make you do things that you don't normally do. The thing that controls you makes you do things that you don't normally do. So you sneak around to make that next move on your game so nobody will notice. So you invent a reason to go to Columbus so you can shop at that store that you go to that has the thing that you want, or the restaurant that you can't otherwise get to. So you create a reason to call or see that person to make sure you look good before you do when you get there. So you create a new body empowerment profile so you can get to the gym more often for longer periods of time. So you get another credit card that nobody knows about so you can fly under the radar. You wouldn't normally do all of those things, but that thing is controlling you, so you now do those things that you wouldn't normally do. And why? Because now it makes sense. It wouldn't have made sense before, but that thing that's trying to fill you is the thing that's controlling you, and that control is making you do things that you wouldn't normally do. So hang on to these two thoughts. The thing you're seeking to fill you is the thing that controls you. The thing that controls you makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do. In Acts chapter 2, the people thought the disciples were full of what? Huh? Wine. Specifically new wine. They thought they were drunk, but instead they were full of what? Holy Spirit. Why is drunkenness and the Holy Spirit a comparable thing? Why would they choose those two things to compare together. Why is that even a comparison? It happens a couple of times in Scripture. Here's Ephesians chapter 5:18. And do not get drunk with new wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. That's from the English Standard Version, my preferred version that I use, but I don't know what the heck debauchery means. So I looked it up in something else. Here's the New Living Translation. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, ruin my life? That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? I mean, what if I just did it once? I mean, once won't ruin my life. Yes, teenagers, it will. It will ruin your life. Don't do it even once. But why are these things comparable? Being drunk with new wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why would they even mention these two things together? I think because drunkenness enables you to do things you wouldn't normally do. And so does the Holy Spirit. Some of you have epic stories about what you've done while you were under the influence. Some of your friends have epic stories about what you've done under the influence. You just don't remember the thing that you did. You have to have them tell you about it. It's safe to say that those are things you wouldn't normally do when you're sober, right? In fact, people will say, oh, I'll do it. I just need a few drinks first. Let me just loosen up a little bit with the drink. Having a little drunkenness enables you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. They call it liquid courage for a reason, right? I don't want you to think I'm glorifying this. Right? I'm just stating facts. This is just how we treat alcohol in our world. Here's the reason why Paul is telling us not to be filled with new wine. And it's all about control. It's about control. Who has the control? At the point of drunkenness, you no longer have control over you. I think we can agree on that. Also, when we're filled with these other things, we no longer have control of ourselves. Whether it's getting drunk or high or shopping for that next dopamine hit or eating whatever, the thing you seek to fulfill you is the thing that controls you. It enables you to do things that you would normally not do. So does the Holy Spirit. So does the Holy Spirit. Those disciples had never spoken in a foreign language before. They just did it. The Holy Spirit enables you to go into the hospital room to see your friend or loved one. You don't know what you're going to find when you get there. You have no clue what you're going to say when you get there. You just simply go and be exactly what that person needs. The Holy Spirit enables you to be extraordinarily generous to people with your time, with your money, to suddenly be able to give and it just not cost you anything. The money just returns back to you somehow, some way. The Holy Spirit enables you to diffuse situations instead of escalating into an argument. You know just the right thing to say to calm things down. The Holy Spirit enables you to do things you wouldn't normally do. There's some times where maybe you shouldn't do something until you've waited and prayed and received the Holy Spirit before you do it. You just wait and you pray like Jesus instructed them. Because the issue is control. Who or what is controlling you? The things of the world? Are they controlling you? Is the Holy Spirit controlling you? Now, this is not an original thought. Being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't a matter of asking for more and more Holy Spirit so you get more Holy Spirit. Like, Lord, just fill me with the Holy Spirit. Just fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me. No. Rather, it is giving the Holy Spirit more of you. More and more of you so that eventually the Holy Spirit gets all of you. In order to give the Holy Spirit more of ourselves, we must give the world less of ourselves. So on this one side, we have the world telling us you will be filled if you drink this drink, if you shoot these drugs, if you buy these clothes, if you eat this food, if you make this money, if you drive this car, if you have sex with this person, you'll be fulfilled. Those things also control you. Paul is telling us, don't be filled with those things. Instead, fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? I think the first step is to stop doing these things. He can't get in if you're already filled up with the things of the world. If you're already filled up with all these other options, there's no room for the Holy Spirit to come in. I think that's step one, is just start reducing yourself of these things. And step two is just to wait and pray. There's no magic incantation you can say. There's nothing you can do. Here's the point. Jesus says you can't be filled with both. You can't love mammon, he says, or money, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't love God and love money. You can't, because either you're going to hate the one and you'll love the other, but you can't do both. Don't be filled with the things of the world. Rather, wait and pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Our basic premise is this. The thing that fills you is the thing that controls you. The thing that controls you is the thing that enables you to do things you wouldn't normally do. And if you want that thing to be the Holy Spirit, then the key word is surrender. I want the band to come back up. We're going to close with a song. And I'd like you to take this moment as a quiet space, a holy moment to think through. On this side, what is it that I need to reduce of what the world's influence is? What are the things that are happening within me that there's just no room for the Holy Spirit to get in there, because I'm so full of social media that there's nothing else. There's no room. I'm just so full of seeking that next dopamine hit with a person that I'm with. I'm just so full of looking for the next food item. Whatever the thing is, what is it for you? I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit for that. And give less and less of yourself to those world options and give more of yourself to the Holy Spirit so that eventually the Holy Spirit has all of you. All of you. And then wait and pray for the Holy Spirit to fulfill you. And in order to do that, we yield control of ourselves. We surrender. We got to let go of sin. We got to humble ourselves. We got to trust God. We got to bring ourselves into alignment with what God is doing. And then we just will and do according to His good pleasure. I don't know where you're at in that spectrum, we'll call it. Spectrum of being filled with those things of the world to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're allowing other things to control you besides the Holy Spirit. Maybe you got an addiction or uncontrolled substance abuse. Maybe that's in your life. Maybe there's a human being that you're infatuated with and all your thought life runs amok because you're thinking about that person. Maybe you are so addicted to pornography or scandalous posts that you just can't even think about anything else. Maybe your work life dominates your entire existence, and that's the only thing that you have going on in your life. It's the only thing you think about. Maybe you're addicted to food. You just think about food a lot and what you're going to eat next and how you're going to procure it. And maybe it's your children, actually. Just say dominate your life, and you don't have an identity outside of being a mom or a dad, and you're just running around all the time, and you get all of your fulfillment from those little buggers. Maybe it's your partner, and you're just so consumed with making your partner happy or just trying to get the next thing out of them. I don't know what it is. What I'd like you to do is just take a moment and think about it. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Give me room in your heart. Give me a space that I can come in and start to fulfill you in a different way. Because the thing that fills you is the thing that controls you. And the thing that controls you is the thing that enables you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. And we want that to be the power of the Holy Spirit to drive you and enable you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. Let's pray. God, in this moment, we open ourselves up to you, and we take a second to surrender, to make a space for you to reduce the impact of the world and what the world is doing, and to elevate the space for you to operate. Lord, we ask that you bring that fresh wind that's experienced in the disciples' room, hopefully in this room, bring it right into our hearts. So you pour out your Spirit into our lives. We open ourselves up to you, and we ask that you guide us in Jesus' name.